with everybody.
Amen.
Make sure I put these phones on vibrate so it'll be going off.
Let's see what we got here.
No. We're going to talk about living a legacy that lasts. We all leave a legacy. Oh, thank you, sir. We all leave a legacy. Whether we want to or not, we all leave a legacy. So, you know, today we're going to be talking a little bit about 1 Samuel. And out of 1 Samuel, a lot of us know the story of, Saul and Jonathan and David and the prophet Samuel himself. But we're not so much as going to focus on kind of the chain of events that happened, but we're going to focus on Jonathan's legacy, the legacy that he left, you know, and just his conduct and how he carried himself through this situation that was going on between his father and his best friend, David, you know. And so we're going to look at that and learn a lot from that. Read a couple things here. Here's the beautiful thing about Jonathan. His legacy shines brightest, not because he became king, but because he refused to grasp for a throne God did not give him. Mm-hmm. During Saul's kingship, Jonathan's life becomes a masterclass in covenant loyalty, spiritual clarity, courage, and self-emptying love. His legacy is far larger than the few chapters he occupies. Just a little backdrop here. I'm going to read some out of 1 Samuel 13. It says, Saul finds himself in a pressure cooker situation. The Philistine armies has gathered in a massive numbers, chariots, horsemen, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore to prepare for war. Saul's own men are trembling with fear, and many of them are running away. So Saul's in a very bad situation here. We all know the story there, you know, and Saul makes a very bad decision. He gets out of his lane, he steps in somebody else's lane that he was not supposed to, you know, and of course God punished him for that. But we're going to pick up the story here. I want to talk about, go to the next one, verse 14, talks about Jonathan. It says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. The first thing I want to encourage us with is, go to the next one, Richard, is choose courage rooted in faith. If you know anything about this backstory, this little part here, everybody was kind of fearful about going over there. But Jonathan had his heart and said, we're going to go. He's going to exhibit faith. Mm-hmm. Jonathan stepped forward when everyone else froze. And we know what it's like sometime in life to freeze. I don't know if you remember young and in school, they did talent shows. Oh, you had to present at a show and tell. Some of us may have been good at it. Others might have been like, oh, this is not going to be good. And you tend to freeze. You forget your word. You can study all that you want, practice all that you want. But when you get there, it just all go away. What happened to it? You know, it's just a part of life. But, you know, Jonathan, given the current situation that we're dealing with, he chose to exercise his faith. It is too easy to say when we are small, what can we do? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.
Amen.
Our courage should be rooted in faith. A couple of applications I want us to think about. Take the next step God is prompting, even if the odds look impossible. That's the one way to exhibit a faith to exhibit courage that is rooted in faith. Pray, Lord, give me Jonathan's courage that trusts your power more than my circumstances. And we know what it's like to have more faith than our circumstances. I don't know why we do that. Circumstances, they come and they go. But we need to be like Jonathan. Nah, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to trust this faith. This circumstance is only for a moment, for a time. Identify one area where fear has been making your decisions and surrender it to God. We all are fearful of something. whether it's taking a leap, whether it's taking on something new, whether it's dealing with something, there's a fear there. We need to surrender it to God. Moving on to 1 Samuel 23:17. It says, don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul would not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. You know, Jonathan here, he recognized God's hand on David. He protects David from Saul's jealousy. He's willing to yield the throne that should have been his by birthright. Wow. Can you imagine something that's yours by birthright, but God makes it clear that you're not going to be the person to fill that seat? The things you have to wrestle with. You would truly be having what I call a Jacob moment. God, we got to wrestle. We got to talk about this. You know, you have to get behind God's point of view. You have to say, I'm going to surrender to God because this is going to happen. You know, I love when you look at Jonathan here, it's staggering what Jonathan says. He says, you will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. I'm going to talk about covenant loyalty. Covenant loyalty represents a deep, steadfast, and fiercely loyal love, a relational commitment rather than a mere contract. It characterizes God's unwavering faithfulness to his people, demanding reciprocal committed love and action as shown in the Old Testament and fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. You know, Jonathan stayed faithful to David even when it cost him his position and comfort. What can we learn from that? A couple of applications for us to think about. Be the kind of friend who protects, encourages, and speaks the truth in love. Ask, who has God placed in your life that needs your loyalty, not your silence? Honor relationships over personal advancements. All great things to apply in our life. All great things to put into practice. Moving on to 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4, it says, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Let's talk about aligning ourselves with God's kingdom and not our ambition. Jonathan recognized God's hand on David and adjusted his life accordingly. Some practicals. We need to learn to release the need to control the outcome. Mm-hmm. And we love to control the outcome. I don't care if you're more of a control freak or less of a control freak. Certain things, when it's dear to you or it means a lot to you, you want to control that outcome. But sometimes we just need to release it. It's not meant for us to control. We need to pray, Lord, help me celebrate your will even when it disrupts my plans. That's hard, ain't it? We have to pray about that. Lord, help me to celebrate your will. Because a lot of times we're not in agreement with God's will, are we? We see it clearly, but we're like, Lord, I just don't think this is right. I don't think you thought this out clearly, Lord. We feel that way as well.
What was the scripture reference?
Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 18, verse 3 and 4. A lot of times we do think that. We have conversations with God like that. Like, you know, Lord, are you really? I mean, is this really what I'm supposed to do? He's basically saying, are you really thinking this out clearly? But we have to ask God to help us to celebrate his will even when it disrupts our plans. Mm-hmm. Support the people God is raising up around us instead of competing with them. Mm-hmm. Why is he or she in that position? I did all the work. It was my idea. I'm the rightful heir. It's hard to get behind somebody when you feel like I should be there. This was all me. But sometimes we have to celebrate people. Just don't compete with them. Celebrate them. Jonathan rejoiced in David's rise rather than resenting him. What can we learn from that? Bless someone else's success this week, publicly or privately. Ask God to remove any jealousy, insecurity, or comparison from your heart. We do it, we're guilty of it. Practice saying, I'm grateful for how God is using me. You know, we can tend to be like, I'm grateful when it's going my way and I got everything that I wanted. But when it's not going my way, do I really feel like I'm grateful for how God's using me? I feel like God could be using me better. We feel that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yet we're called to be grateful for how God is using us. Because however he uses us, it's molding us and it's shaping us into the people that God wants us to be. Because God wants to walk with us forever. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be the right people that he's going to walk with forever. Moving on to 1 Samuel 19, verses 4 through 6. And it says, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Let's talk about walk with integrity in different and difficult environments. This is a major legacy point of Jonathan. He is interceding on David's behalf. Jonathan stayed righteous in Saul's dysfunctional household. That's a challenge, ain't it? Why I got to be righteous? They're the one dysfunctional. Why I got to keep it in the role? We feel that way sometimes. You know, an application here is choose integrity even when others choose not to. Refuse to participate in gossip, manipulation, or dishonesty. Pray, Lord, make me faithful even when my environment is not. And that's constant always. Sometimes our environment is great, but sometimes we end up in an environment that's just like, this is not healthy. What's the word? It's toxic. Yep. But we got to be like Jesus. I got to be righteous in this environment. I got to keep it right. Instead of pointing and saying, well, what about them, God? God's like, don't worry about them. I need for you to be the correct representation during this time. 1 Samuel, the latter part of 1 Samuel 19, 4 and 6, when Jonathan says, why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Now, one of the things we have to do is, go to the next one, Richard, we have to stand in the gap. This is what Jonathan was doing, a part of his legacy. Between his dad and his best friend, he was standing in the gap for David. He was a shield for David. Jonathan interceded, advocated, and he protected. A couple applications. Speak up for someone who cannot speak for themselves. Be like Jesus. You know, when we could not speak for ourselves, who went to the cross? Somebody was speaking up for us. When we were powerless to sin, who was speaking up for us? Jesus. We need to imitate that and speak up for somebody. We need to stand in the gap. Whether it's for a brother and sister in the flock, or somebody out there in the world looking for hope, we need to stand in the gap like Jesus did. Intercede for someone who is under attack spiritually and emotionally. Who did that for us? Jesus. That's what he did. He's been interceding for us. We are constantly under attack, spiritually and emotionally. I know when we got baptized, it was an exciting moment. We rejoiced. Jesus is Lord. All my sins are gone. But the attacks didn't stop. They became more fierce. It is, man. They're ongoing. Yet Jesus is still interceding. Constantly. We need to intercede for someone who is under attack spiritually and emotionally. Be a bridge builder, not a fire starter. We should not seek conflict, nor be an agitator. That's enough of that going on in the world. And all of us who came out of the world, we know about that. There's enough of that. We should be people who build bridges, not people who start fires. We should be people who help people and not hurt people. That's who we are. Jonathan has an amazing legacy that we're looking at here. And we're going to wrap it up here. I want to move on to 1 Samuel 20. 12:15 says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time, the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed toward you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of this earth.'" Finally, let's talk about leave a legacy of selfless love. And that's what Jonathan's doing here. Jonathan's influence lived on through David. Jonathan is exhibiting a selfless love. He is basically emptying out his heart to David here. A couple of applications we can take from here is invest in people, not platforms. Ask, who will be closer to Jesus because of your life? You are a representation of Jesus, just as Jesus is a representation of God. Live in such a way that your legacy is measured in transformed lives, not personal achievement. You know, Jonathan teaches us that the greatest legacy is not what we achieve, but what we surrender for the sake of God's kingdom. When we look at Jonathan, we don't just see a warrior. We don't just see a prince. We see a man who chose God's kingdom over his own crown. Jonathan shows us what it looks like to live with courage when others hesitate, loyalty when others betray, discernment when others are blind, and selfless love when others compete. His life whispers to us across the centuries. You don't have to be in an important position to be used by God.
That's right.
You just have to be surrendered. Jonathan teaches us the legacy. She teaches us that legacy is not built by climbing ladders, protecting positions, or fighting for recognitions. Legacy is built when we lay our ambitions at the feet of the King. And we say, "Not my will, but your will be done." So today the call is simple and holy. Let's be courageous where God is calling you to step forward. Be loyal to the people God has placed in your life. Celebrate the victories God gives to others. Stand with integrity, even in difficult environments. Align your life with God's kingdom, not your personal kingdom. And may we, like Jonathan, be remembered not for the important positions we held in life, but for God, but for the God we served with a surrendered and undivided heart. May we be men and women of the cross, and may our lives point always to the true King Jesus.
Amen.
Now I'm going to pray as we prepare to take